Let us turn to the book of Ephesians, to the chapter 6, and let us read verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We're continuing our series on the subject, It's War. In this series of messages, as we've been studying Ephesians chapter 6, we are considering the spiritual warfare in which Christians are engaged and the armour which God has made available to them that they might fight well in this battle. We do face a strong enemy, an inveterate foe, the devil, and how we fare in the spiritual battle against him depends to a large degree upon how we are equipped. Believers in Christ cannot overcome Satan in their own strength and power, and we learn that from time to time, don't we? We don't have enough in our own armoury to match the devil. We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, as the scripture puts it here. Our strength comes from the Lord, and we need the armour that he alone can provide. Now, we spoke about this last time as we considered the equipment for warfare. That's what I would call the armour, the equipment. And in this passage in Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul gives some general exhortations concerning the Christian warfare and the need to be prepared for the battle. Now, in verses 11 and 13, he uses a phrase twice, and that is the whole armour of God. It is important to be protected by all the armour that has been provided by God for us. Now, from the general references to armour, the apostle proceeds to speak of each piece of the armour in particular. From verse 14 onwards, the different parts of the armour are identified and they are explained in greater detail. The finest soldiers of that time, the time in which Paul ministered and lived, were the men of the Roman legions, men who had conquered virtually all of the known world. In his missionary journeys, Paul had seen those soldiers at close proximity on a number of occasions. We read, for example, in the book of Acts, in the chapter 24 and verse 23, and he commanded a centurion to keep Paul. A centurion of the Roman legions, a man who would have been dressed in the kind of armour that he describes in Ephesians 6. There are other references, of course, in Acts chapter 27 verse 1. It tells us that they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And then in chapter 28 and verse 16 of the book of Acts, he says, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. So Paul would have been in close proximity to this man and would have even been able to observe him in his regalia. Paul was very familiar with this equipment, and in the portion before us, he uses this equipment as an illustration of the armour that God has made available to the Christian soldier as he engages in spiritual warfare. We've already listed these pieces of armour. He mentions there the loins girt about. He speaks about the breastplate. He speaks also concerning the feet being shod, and the shield, and the helmet, and the sword. All of these pieces of armour he speaks of as an illustration of that which God has made available to you and to me as believers as we engage in spiritual warfare and battle. Now, as we noted, there's this statement used twice by Paul to describe the equipment available to us. The whole armour of God. The six pieces of armour, and seven if you would include prayer, as some do, they are spoken of in a spiritual context. Because he doesn't just speak about the loins being girt, but girt about with truth. He doesn't just talk about a breastplate, but the breastplate of righteousness, and so on. There is that which is spoken about in relation to these things that are of a spiritual nature. And the words that are used are spiritual words: truth, righteousness, gospel, faith, salvation, the Spirit. And as we think about this, we think about the nature of the armor. It clearly suggests that the only person who can put on and use this armor is a Christian. This is spiritual armor. It's armor to be worn by a true child of God. We talked about the nature of the armor. We also spoke about the need for the armor. And twice over, Paul mentions the words, "that ye may be able." In verse 11 and in verse 13. That, it means in order that ye might, or that ye may be able. Since we're called to fight with enemies in the spiritual realm, there's obviously a need for this special equipment that we might stand firm against the enemy in battle. In order that ye may be able to stand and to withstand. Now, it's referred to as the whole armor because we need all of it. There's not one piece that we can do without. God has provided for us both defensive and offensive armor, and we dare not be without any piece. All of these pieces of armor were used for protection and defense in those days. And the sword was also an offensive weapon, but along with the other five, it was a piece of armor also used to protect the soldier in the fight. And we need the protection of God as we live and serve him in this world. Therefore, we must put on the whole armor of God, piece by piece. May the Lord help us to do that. We spoke about the need for the armor, and then we finally referred to the names on the armor. Together and as individual pieces, these really speak to us of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about truth, we think about Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And you can go down each of these and know that they are speaking about some aspect of Christ. They, in fullness, are a summation of all that there is in Christ for the believer, including salvation. We have salvation through Christ. He is our salvation. And as Christians, we put on the armor, and that's described by Paul in Romans chapter 13 as a putting on of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we put that armor on the moment that we're saved. When we first trust in Christ, we don the armor. We're clothed with Christ. But then there has to be, on a daily basis, an appropriation of all that there is in Christ by the child of God. We do that by faith. We have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God is teaching us in Ephesians chapter 6 that there is a sufficiency in the Savior to meet every need that can possibly arise in your life. Christ is all and in all, and there is a fullness in Christ to meet every need. Thank God for that. Now, as we come to look at the whole armor, we find that the first piece mentioned is the girdle of truth. Look at the verse. In verse 14, the statement is made, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Your loins girt about. It is referring there to the girdle of truth, or we might say the belt of truth. What are we to learn from this piece of armor? Well, I want us to think today specifically of the purpose of the belt. When it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth," it really means having girded yourself with the belt of truth having buckled it around your waist. The wording here perhaps might be better if we were to put it this way: having girded your loins about with truth. That's the sense of it, because it's not so much something that's been done for you, it's something that you must do. That's why we read in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God. This is something that you must actually do. So you must gird yourself with truth. You must tighten on the belt of truth around your loins. And obviously there is an allusion here to the military belt, which was worn specifically and particularly by the Romans. The soldier wore a military belt to support and to keep in place everything that he was wearing. The girdle or the belt was the point of junction for the main pieces of the body armor, so that the girdle or the belt formed the common bond of the whole. I was reading Kenneth Wiest. I like his Greek studies, and he commented in this way: the girdle or sash was always with the ancients an important part of their dress in war as well as in peace. They wore loose flowing robes, and it became necessary to gird them up when they travelled or ran or laboured. That girdle was often highly ornamented and was the place where they carried their money, their sword, their pipe, their writing instruments, etc. It seems sometimes to have been a cincture of iron or steel, and designed to keep every part of the soldier's armour in its place, and to gird him on every side. So the idea here is of that which keeps all of the armour in one place and keeps it together. It is really important then, the girdle or the belt of truth. Now we read sometimes in Scripture, I'm sure you've noted it, the expression gird up your loins, or having your loins girded. And it simply refers to belting or fastening the robes that have been hitched up into the girdle or the belt, and binding everything together to give greater mobility, leaving a man free for action. Now all of this has obvious spiritual application. What does it mean to have your loins girt about with truth? Well, to understand that, we have to think about the purpose of the belt or the girdle. And that belt worn by the soldier around his loins or his waist would, in the first place, create stability. The girdle or the belt would create stability. When a man was sitting, say, at home relaxing, he would take off that girdle or belt and let his robes just freely lie there. But when he wanted to become active, he would gather his garments together, lift up his robes, and fix them in position with that belt or that girdle. If he didn't do that, then his flowing garments would have become a real hindrance to him. He would have been constantly stepping on the robe or tripping himself up on those robes, and thus he would never feel secure on his feet. He would never be stable. He would be unsteady and stumbling, in the case of the soldier, as he tried to handle the sword or hold up the shield. He was liable to fall over. So when he was getting ready to face the enemy, the soldier would gather his clothing together and he would fix it firmly in position by means of this tight belt or band or girdle. And so the very putting on of the girdle in itself would brace him up and prepare him for action. It would create stability. And friends, this is what God's truth does for the Christian soldier. It creates stability in the Christian's life. You know, there are people who profess to be saved today and they're all over the place. They don't know what they believe and they don't know why they believe it. And they're carried about with every wind of doctrine, and one minute it's one thing they believe and the next minute it seems they believe something else. They're all over the map. and they're stumbling and falling and tripping over and are never seemingly stable. They're like Reuben, of whom the Bible says he was unstable as water. We need to put on the belt of truth. We're talking about the Bible, and we're talking about Christ as he is revealed in the Bible. The truth of God holds everything else together and gives stability to the Christian's life and behavior. Someone put it like this in relation to the belt that's mentioned here. The girdle kept all the parts of the armor in their proper place and preserved firmness and consistency in the dress. So truth will serve to give consistency and firmness to our conduct. And a man called Grotius wrote, "Great is the laxity of falsehood. Truth binds the man." And men and women, truth alone will give stability to your spiritual life. You can't stand to fight without being girded with truth. You need to be on a firm foundation. How easily we are tripped up by encumbrances. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And look with me at what it says in verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." The idea is of someone who's running in an amphitheatre, in something like the Colosseum, surrounded by spectators. "We're surrounded, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." If someone was going to run in a race, he would not put on a big heavy coat and heavy boots. He would get rid of all unnecessary encumbrances that he might be able to run well, to run unhindered, to run unencumbered. And that's brought out by this phrase, "the sin which doth so easily beset us." The Greek really signifies "which doth so easily encircle us around." The idea is of the robes hanging down, tripping up the runner, stopping him from being able to run. The legs are encircled by his garments that have not been gathered up into the belt. And so the runner is beset. He's encircled by hindrances that stop him from running the race. And what is true of the runner is true of the soldier. Putting on the girdle would free up the soldier for action. He would not now be encumbered in his actions and movements. When he was fighting, he wouldn't need to be afraid that he might trip or fall over his robes or become entangled in any part of his garments, because he had girded up his loins. He had put on the belt. And men and women, we need to gird up our loins. In fact, that very phrase is used in the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We read this in our Bible reading this morning. 1 Peter 1, 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up the loins of your mind. Put these garments into the belt. Be girt with truth. Our minds must be girded by truth. Our thinking has to be right. And if your thinking is not biblical, it's going to be wrong thinking. We need to learn to think biblically about everything. How unstable are the thoughts of those whose thinking is not molded by truth, but by error, and many are not established in the truth and are therefore carried about with every wind of doctrine. And it's interesting that in Ephesians this is mentioned in chapter 4, where it speaks about no longer being children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Our text says, having your loins girt about with truth. One translation of the Greek puts it like this: stand therefore, or hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins. Kenneth Weiss puts it like this: stand therefore, having girded your loins in the sphere of truth. And as we shall see, the sphere of truth must be a reference to the holy word of God itself and Christ in that word. The soldier's girdle or belt would create stability. May the Lord make us to be people who are stable because we have our loins girded up with truth. But there's a second thing here. The soldier's girdle or belt would not only create stability, it would convey strength. The belt tightened around the loins or the waist would lend strength to the vital organs of the body. My father many years ago used to be a weightlifter. He did that in connection with another sport that he was involved with, which was boxing. And so he used to lift weights. Weightlifters and power lifters, you'll see them often wearing a sturdy belt around their midsection. Some of those big fellows that lift in what is called super heavyweight power lifting, you'll see the big belt that they have around their midriff. You know what that's for? It's to prevent them from doing damage in that part of their body. That's what it's for. It's not there for decoration. A lot of them would need a lot more than that for decoration. But it has been pointed out that in the dress of the Oriental, the belt or the girdle was actually used to strengthen and support the body, as well as to hold in place the other pieces of apparel. The soldier would wear the girdle around his loins for support. It would strengthen him in the fight. And M.R. Vincent, in his Greek word studies, observes, the loins, the Greek word is osphos, the loins encircled by the girdle form the central point of the physical system. Hence, in Scripture, the loins are described as the seat of power. To strike through the loins is to strike a fatal blow. To lay affliction upon the loins, which is another biblical expression, is to afflict heavily. And so the girdle tightened or belted around the loins is a reference to the binding of truth to the mind and heart of the Christian. Again, his thinking and his actions are to be within the sphere and the realm of truth. He's belted in by truth. He's strengthened by truth. William Gurnall, in his famous work, The Christian in Complete Armour, said, truth of doctrine for the mind and truth of heart or sincerity for the will should unite and establish the understanding and the will. They do this when they are clasped and girded about the soul as the girdle about the loins of the body. Our minds and spirits need this girdle to strengthen them in every work we do, or else we shall act nothing vigorously. Our belt is the truth of God revealed in Scripture. Notice again the description that's given of this girdle. Having your loins girt about with truth. It's the girdle of truth. Didn't the Lord Jesus say in his prayer, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The truth rightly received, the truth properly received, gives us inner strength, and it fits and arms us for action in the battle of life. We have to be drawing from a reservoir of truth, and being girded with truth signifies a true knowledge and belief of the truth and a clinging to that truth. I was reading in Charles Hodge And he said, as the girdle or belt gives strength and freedom of action, and therefore confidence, so does the truth when spiritually apprehended and believed. Let not anyone imagine that he's prepared to withstand the assaults of the powers of darkness if his mind is stored with his own theories or with the speculations of other men. Nothing but the truth of God, clearly understood and cordially embraced, will enable him to keep his feet for a moment before these celestial potentates. Reason, tradition, speculative conviction, dead orthodoxy are a girdle of spider webs. They give way at the first onset. Truth alone, as abiding in the mind in the form of divine knowledge, can give strength or confidence even in the ordinary conflicts of the Christian life, much more in any really evil day. Christians are to belt on the girdle of truth. And so there has to be a careful reading and study of the Bible, God's truth. That's essential if we're to know victory over the devil's devices. As Peter tells us in that verse, 1 Peter 1:13, we're to gird up the loins of our mind. We need a mind that is girt firmly about with the scriptures of truth. And sometimes the problem is that we let our minds be filled with other opinions and ideas, or else we fill our minds with unprofitable things. Now, I would never tell you that it's wrong to read a newspaper, or that it's wrong to read a magazine, or that it's wrong necessarily to read a fictional book of some kind, like a novel. And even good books have their place. But friends, there's nothing to gird your mind like the book of God. The Apostle Paul liked his books. And when you read his closing words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he asked him to bring a cloak with him because he was cold, obviously. But he also asked him to bring the books. And I believe he's referring there to good books, spiritually helpful books. But notice he said not only to bring the books, but especially the parchments. What did he mean, especially the parchments? Well, he's referring there to that which was written on the parchments, which was the Word of God. Especially the parchments. Let God's book be number one in your life, because it is the girdle of truth that holds everything else together. And we must remember how much the devil hates the truth. He really does. He hates the truth. He stands against the truth. He is a liar and he's the father of lies. And in our spiritual battle with Satan, truth is the first essential. That is why I believe Paul mentions it first in the armor. It holds everything else together. We need to be girt about with truth. The girdle would not only convey strength and create stability, but I think we could say thirdly that the girdle would also cover specifically. It provided protection, you see, in itself, in a vital area of the soldier's body, around the midriff. Now, we'll speak further concerning the protection provided by all the pieces of armour later, but suffice to say, the girdle or the belt was akin to an apron, which in itself was a piece of protective armour. It sometimes would have pieces of metal within it. It extended down to the thighs, apparently, and it protected the soldier's lower abdomen and reproductive organs. The word loins that's used here refers literally to the general area of the body between the ribs and the thighs, the midsection between the upper and lower body that includes the hips, the small of the back, the waist, and the reproductive organs. The word os refers to the lower region of the back, which is the region of the five lower vertebrae of the lumbar region, and those of you with bad backs will know what that is, the part of the body where the girdle was worn. It is the region of the hips as opposed to the shoulders and the thighs. This was a vital area to be protected, and the girdle provided that protection. The loins of our minds need protection. Hence the importance of learning, practicing, and holding to the truth. Now, since the Bible uses that phrase, the loins of your mind, it does again underscore the importance of the mind of the believer. We mentioned this in a previous message, how the devil loves to attack and assail the mind. And we need to have our minds stayed upon Christ. Our thinking needs to be thinking that is geared toward and guided by His truth. The truth of God is a great protection against the devil's assaults. What did David say? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Years ago, as a little boy, my mother taught me to write in the front flyleaf of my Bible these words. They're not original, but they're good. This book will keep me from sin. Sin will keep me from this book. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And we should remember too that without the belt, the rest of the armor upon the body would not be held in place. One writer records the following. He said, also from the belt, or the girdle, hung specialized hooks and holders on which to secure the scabbard that contained the dagger, the word is pugio, the quiver which held lances, and an apparatus on which to rest the large battle shield. Also on the belt were clips with which to hold the breastplate in its proper place. So you see how important that girdle or that belt was? Fastening and holding everything else tight in place. How loose things become when we lose sight of the truth. How loose things begin to be in a church when a church loses sight of the importance of God's truth. There's laxity, there's looseness, things are all over the place when God's truth ceases to take the central place. That's why we make no apology for being a Bible preaching church. We believe that the preaching of the word is the central act in Christian worship. Preaching must take the preeminence. I'm not big on discussion groups. I have to be frank about that. It's all right talking about things, asking questions, but I'm not big on that. I don't think it's profitable in the generality of cases. One person, what do you think about this? Well, here's what I think. What do you think? Well, this is what I think. And you have a multiplicity of opinions. The Bible speaks about the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word. Paul said to Timothy, don't start a discussion group. He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I heard someone the other day talk about a particular thing that was happening in open-air ministry. Now, I'm very much in favor of open-air ministry if it's done properly. But I must confess, I've heard an awful lot of things from street preachers that are frankly nonsense. Unscriptural garbage. I've seen street preachers who are very, very nasty, rude, in your face. I've heard street preachers who do nothing but put off their hearers. And the other thing about a lot of street preachers is they're self-appointed. They're not under the control of any church, any session of a church. There's no ministerial involvement in what they do. They're just renegades and mavericks that decide that they're going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. And there's nobody to gainsay it. There's no accountability. There's nobody to bring them before if they do something or say something wrong. unlike as there is in a New Testament church. Truth. God's truth is very important. And yes, the truth has to be preached. But the truth has to be preached, not error. And how important is the truth? It's central to everything in the Christian life and warfare. So the belt of truth, the girdle, would cover specifically. And finally, it should be noted that the girdle would also be used by the soldier to carry supplies. I was reading one historian who noted that a Roman soldier would carry on his girdle supplies of bread, oil, and water. I find that really interesting, that he would have actually little receptacles in that belt in which he would carry bread, the way someone would do in a little pouch. He would carry a little bottle of oil, and he would carry water, the way we would carry a water bottle if we're riding a bicycle or whatever. And there are spiritual applications that we could make of all three of those. The bread, the oil, and the water. Christ is the bread of life. The Holy Spirit is the oil that the Bible speaks about. And the gospel itself is the water of life that we take freely as God gives it to us. Christ himself is represented in Scripture as the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the only message that will save a soul is the truth of the gospel. Friends, we must be girded about with truth if we are to war a good warfare. May the Lord help us to be bound by the truth and bound to the truth for his glory. Having your loins girt about with truth. I want to just show you one final reference. It's in Luke chapter 12, verse 35. It speaks of the loins being girded, and this is the same kind of terminology that the Lord Jesus himself used. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Having the loins girded, having the garments pulled up into the belt, means that someone is prepared and they're in a state of readiness. They're ready to depart. They're ready to move. They're ready to act. You remember when the children of Israel were at the Passover? They were to eat the Passover with their loins girded. They were to be ready at any moment to leave. Is that how we live? As we're girded about with truth? Do we have our loins girded about and our lights burning? And we're like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. Christ is coming. Christ will come. He will come in the second advent. We should be seeking to be prepared for that. Christ will also come for some before his second advent. He will come for them and take them in death. Are we those who are living as though we're ready to go, with our loins girt about with truth? Having Christ in our hearts, we're in a state of readiness for the call of God when it comes. May the Lord help us so to be, having your loins girt about with truth.